If you love all things gardening, why not join us at our Spring Fair from the 3rd to the 5th of May at Bewley in Hampshire? You'll find everything you need to kickstart the season. Find out more at bbcgardenersworldfair.com. See you there!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Hello and welcome to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast on cooking delicious meals from homegrown harvests with me, Adam Frost. For me, growing your own vegetables is one of the most enjoyable things I do with my spare time. Whether it's sowing seeds, you know, growing some wonderful new potatoes, looking after it, caring, tendering, getting it through to harvest, and then taking it back into my kitchen and trying to create something for my family. It makes me feel quite proud and warm inside. The first bit, I think I'm reasonably okay with most of the time. But the cooking, a bit of a mixed bag, I suppose. So what I've gone and done is I've gone and found myself a new best friend. And what she doesn't know about food is not worth knowing. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
What an introduction. Hi. I'm Cassie from Good Food, and today we're going to be talking all about carrots and other roots, aren't we?
Hey, let's crack on. Right, hey, here we go. Carrots.
Carrots.
When do they first come into your life? Is it, if you eat your carrots, you'll be able to see in the dark?
I think it's probably one of the first things most people eat, isn't it? As a baby, carrot puree and...
Yeah, you're probably,
you know,
right, actually.
Weaned on them.
You are. And is there any truth in that? How good are carrots for you?
Yeah, they're pretty good for you. I mean, yeah, like you say, there's the old wives' tale of they help you see in the dark. I don't know if that's true, but they do contain lots of carotenoids, which are great for your eyes and can help deter age-related macular degeneration. And they're packed with vitamins and minerals, low in calories. So, you know, all round a good thing to have in your kitchen.
And again, another one of those things that's quite easy to grow, not complicated.
Yeah, I've had some success with these myself.
Yeah, have you? So you've grown carrots?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, we're here. Any particular type of carrots or?
Oh, I don't know. The long ones.
I love it. Because that's the thing as well. Right now, there's loads of different varieties and this, that, the other. There's different shapes, different sizes, you name it, that's going on. But actually, did you know carrots weren't originally orange?
I didn't know. Tell me.
There you go. So if you look back, and actually they reckon that the it was the Dutch, and to do with the Dutch, I think from what I understand, the Dutch royal family, and obviously the Dutch is that orange colour. And so we had carrots that were sort of dark, rich, crimson colours, right through to sort of whites. And these were hybridised to make that colour.
Yeah, because you still see, don't you, like the purple carrots, and they're a real novelty. You don't see them very often.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting.
Yeah, so I've become quite fascinated with growing. This makes me sound like a sad old man, doesn't it, really? I've become fascinated with growing purple carrots. But actually, again, there's purple carrots and purple carrots. Mm. So what I mean by that is there's sort of purple carrots on the outside and then they're orange on the inside. And when you cook them, sometimes they blend away.
They're pretty in a salad though, aren't they?
They are. They're but nice. You can get purple carrots. And even my lot at home are looking at it as if to say, what's that?
What is it?
What's he doing?
Yeah.
What's he doing? You know, and you get that rich, out of a proper purple carrot, you'll get that rich sort of real deep beetrooty colour and that sort of blood.
Wow, I bet they're packed with goodness then. I bet they're really good for you.
And I suppose it's that idea again, is it? If we look back at those heritage varieties, you know, that lack of breeding means that ultimately, you know, we've got more packed in there.
Yeah, we've just become so used to seeing the same, you know, pack of carrots on our shelves, haven't we? Maybe a Chardonnay every now and then.
Exactly.
But, you know, they're pretty much a standard size in the supermarkets, and you don't see any of that variety that is obviously out there, but we don't know about it, and it's such a shame.
And that's why we need to grow it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes back, doesn't it, to that if you grow your own, you get that choice. And I think they're another one. They're not complicated to grow. If I had to create the perfect conditions, you know, for a carrot, it would be well-drained, sunny position, light, fertile soil, not much in the way of stones.
I think I've run into a few stones because mine are always very wonky and knobbly.
Yeah, but then you end up with wonky, knobbly things that end up sometimes looking a little bit rude.
Yeah.
You know, I walk in, and there's plenty of times I walk into the kitchen with one carrot and going, you know, even in my 50s, I'm still like a child. Look at this. Can we put this online? And the kids are going, no, you can't put that online. You can't put that online. It looks too bad. But interestingly as well with carrots, whereas a lot of what I've talked about is all about putting the goodness in the ground, in the ground, well manured, carrots are not good with that. So actually, when you're rotating your planting around your garden, it's good to back off in places. So when I would mulch once a year, you know, to make sure the goodness was there for the following year. So what I'm doing already is where I've pulled maybe my brassicas or something like that out of the ground, or I've maybe cleared some spinach or something, I've cleared an autumn area and it's ready for mulching, but I want to put my carrots in there next year, no mulch, no compost, and that will stay as it is. So carrots work better in that slightly less fertility.
Okay.
And then I'll grow the carrots in there. So where I take the carrots out of 1 year, I then compost the life out of that because it's more or less had 2 years.
Yeah.
But somewhere else that would be prepped for the carrots. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, so, I'm with you.
But again, I've seen them grown window boxes. I can remember in lockdown, Monty with the program couldn't do two of the programs. And it was at that madness when everybody was, things were changing by the hour, you know, and the Gardeners World lot sent, we had a tiny little team that was allowed to come and do stuff still at that point. And what can you do? Everybody's going to be stuck at home. What can we do, you know? And I did an old sort of galvanised bucket of carrots.
Yeah.
I spent the rest of the time in lockdown being sent pictures of carrots in buckets, you know, and people showing me their harvesting, because that was a time when we, you know, people engaged with their gardens, didn't they? And there was a big push on sort of growing your own food.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I suppose growing it, get away with anywhere. Light, fertile soil. Don't sow too cold. So again, not too early in the season. And you don't want them in wet soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sort of prefer that slightly sort of drier. When I say drier, you know, we'll sort that. So I would sow probably mid-March on a good spring all the way through. Well, to be fair, I'm still sowing them in June.
Okay.
As you can imagine, I'm going to say, do what it says on the packet. Also, just do your own thing. You know, I sow thinly, create that little drill, sow thinly, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 mil deep, sow them in a water trench, fill it back in. They're quite a small seed. And it's about another tip that we haven't talked about, because obviously a lot of the time we sow from our hand, you know, and some of the veg garden seeds and whatever can be quite small.
Yeah.
So another little tip is sometimes to either use some white paper, fold it in half, put your seeds in the white paper, and then just put the white paper over and just tap.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've opened a seed packet and they just go everywhere, or I've put them in the kids' hands and before you know it,
yeah, exactly.
They're gone.
Yeah, so thinly. But what's lovely, even if you don't, the moment they start coming out of the ground, you can thin them. So I tend to thin them and eat them, you know, so I tend to let them keep going until I've got baby carrots.
Yeah.
And then I'll start to really thin them. Then I'll feed off the baby carrots, and eventually I'll thin them out, I suppose, enough that it's probably 50, 60, 70 mil between a plant, depending on the variety of carrot, and keep them sort of well watered, keep them weed free. And the only thing really problem wise that I suffer from is carrot fly. So again, I don't, you know, there's nothing chemically with me. So what I do is I put a really fine mesh over, you know, more or less like a fleecy type mesh. And because I grow in sort of little raised beds, what I actually do is my little raised beds are quite square. So I put the mesh over and I now get bungee, you know, bungee ties.
Yeah.
I get bungee tie, I put it all the way around the bed and lock it off.
Okay.
And then I don't really... That's it. I don't go in there, you know. You don't want to go in there too much, because when you start to disturb them, you know, you sort of can attract carrot flies.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like it's, you know, easy to do. I'm going to keep going and try some new varieties.
I mean, it's lovely. You can get mixed rainbow ones.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get the yellows. But you do see those a bit now, don't you, in the supermarkets?
You do see them a bit more in supermarkets. But yeah, like we've said so many times, the beauty of growing your own is that you can go through all these different varieties and it just makes your cooking so much more interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a real talking point as well, isn't it? I bet when you bring out those purple carrots, like you said, everyone's going, what's that?
And
I love that. I think that's a really nice thing to be able to do.
Yeah, it is. It is. It definitely is. And I think it was well with carrots, you know, a lot of the time, you know, stay in the ground for a long time. If I tend to lift mine, if it gets too wet, but they'll store. They'll store really easy. So I will put them in the garage in a sort of in layers of sand, in layers of sort of bark compost. They'll last for quite a long time in sort of darker, slightly drier conditions. You just build layers of them up and they'll be absolutely fine. So a good sort of another one of those plants is good to grow a decent amount, because you can, you know, you can start to store them without even starting filling up the freezer or anything like that. So
and
they're a good one.
Like you say, there's loads of ways to preserve them as well. You can stick them in the freezer, but you can also make nice pickles out of carrots and you can do all sorts. You can even use the carrot tops. So I make a really nice carrot top pesto, which is delicious, really nice. Has a bit of a kind of fresh parsley sort of taste to it. So that's a really nice thing to do with the tops. And even the peelings, you know, I don't chuck them away. I stick them in the freezer, make a bag up, and then you've got a bag of peeled veg for stocks when you're making a stock. So you can use every part of the carrot, which I love. You know, that's a real bonus as well.
Yeah, a couple of nice, easy, slightly flash dishes with carrots. Come on, girl.
Okay, carrots. I mean, I use carrots so much. They're always in my kitchen. And they're so versatile. Like we've talked about with pumpkins before, you know, they have that lovely sweetness.
Mm.
So they're great in sweet dishes, which we are going to talk about later, because I've bought something sweet to
I can see it. I'm not going to give it away, though.
So we're going to have a slice of that later.
Oh, you're teasing them
I'm
now.
I'm teasing. But also, obviously, in savoury dishes. I think boiling carrots is just a travesty, because they lose all their lovely flavour. So actually, I think, you know, boiling a lot of vegetables should just be slung out the window. Let's roast them and let's barbecue them and think of more interesting ways to cook them, because they retain so much more flavour and texture. So I love to roast my carrots. I make a really nice dish with roasted carrots where I make a whipped feta. So you blitz up feta and Greek yogurt, and you can add a bit of lemon zest or something to it if you want to. Spread that over a plate, top it with your roasted carrots, and then you can make a really nice dressing with some chopped dates, lemon, parsley, chuck in some toasted nuts, and drizzle that all over the top and scoop it up with a flatbread, and it's just gorgeous.
You're doing it again.
So that's like, if you're going to have, you know, like a little spread, a mezze spread, and you can stick that in the table, that's gorgeous. That's a lovely way to cook them. Or, you know, you can keep it more classic with like Vichy carrots. Have you heard of Vichy carrots?
No, go
very
on.
Classic French way of cooking carrots, where you cook them down with a bit of orange juice.
Oh, and butter. See,
really
classic. I sort of, and I know some of those things, I just don't know the names.
Okay, so I'm teaching you some French as well. So that's a really classic way to eat carrots. They go so nicely with, you know, orange, and a bit of coriander seed in there would be delicious. Carrot and coriander, match made in heaven.
Whiz
that up in a soup, gorgeous. And then we get onto the sweet side of things. So grated carrot through a cake, a steamed pudding. It just like brings a lovely flavour, but also keeps your bakes nice and moist and adds a lovely texture as well. So I'm all for that as well.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So, you know, with the carrots sometimes, you said a couple of classic herbs. Any, you know, how wide does that range become that work? I mean, I think thyme works well with carrots.
Thyme is pretty wide, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like you've said so many times with growing veg, I don't like the rules, you know. Let's get rid of the rules. There are classic pairings, but really, you know, you can go with rosemary, thyme, tarragon works really nicely with carrots. Yeah. And then the softer herbs in certain situations. Parsley's lovely with carrots, coriander. If you're roasting them, a bit of sage through there. It really doesn't matter.
You
can use whatever you've got growing in the garden or whatever you've got in the fridge, and it will just be a really nice pairing. Carrots go really nicely with herbs in general.
Yeah, and I sometimes have done them in a sort of shallow. If I've got a decent vegetable stock kicking around, I might actually just, you know, more or less bubble them off quickly in that stock and then throw them in the oven just to finish them off. I've done them that way.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I told you about the elephant garlic. Slicing that, then get those really thick bits and then put them across the roasting ones. That's been quite nice as well.
Yeah. You can make a really nice tart with carrots as well. Like really, if you've got some of those beautiful different coloured carrots and you know, line them up on top of a puff pastry tart with some ricotta spread underneath or something, that looks so lovely. Maybe sprinkle some pistachios or some nuts over the top. Gorgeous.
Yeah, and man, that sounds amazing. So I think, you know, they're a veg, not hard to grow. You know, one of my worries is carrot fly. Keep them watered, you know, and away you go.
Yeah.
I suppose we go from that really on to something like parsnips, which in my life are a little bit hit and miss, I'll be honest. They're either absolutely brilliant or they're a disaster. And there's not a lot in between. But same sort of approach as with carrots. I don't tend to sow those probably until mid-spring, early summer, well-drained, light, fertile soil, but not too much goodness in there. And then I do sow those, you know, straight into drills. But with these, I suppose I allow more room between the drills. Whereas the carrots, I'll break those rules. And, you know, if I do more than one row, I'll push them really close, quite close together. Whereas actually with the parsnips, I'll keep probably nearly a foot, so nearly 30 centimetres between the two, water the reel, and then away they go. And I will thin them out over time. So you're probably looking, I don't know, everything between 5 and 7 centimetres, you know.
Is there a sweet spot before it gets a bit woody?
Yeah, and I think that's the key with them. I think the key with them is if they dry out too much, you know, you end up with that woody sort of centre. And I think actually even when you go and buy, I don't know about you how you treat them, but when you go and buy parsnips, a lot of the time, and I don't know whether this was something my uncle ages ago or whatever, somebody has obviously along the line has told me, you know, you can see that woody centre in them. And I tend to get the potato peeler and I just take that woody centre out and then just have the outer, still a good thickness because it takes that woody centre out. How do you approach parsnips? What's the sort of...
I don't throw any of it away. I just chomp my way through those woody bits. But I know what you mean. Again, I like a roasted parsnip. I think that really helps to bring out the flavour. And if they are slightly tougher, I'll probably just cut them in a different way. So cut them, it's like a piece of steak, you know, like if you've got a tough piece of steak and then you cut it in the right way, so you're going through the grain, it helps to tenderize the cut. And a parsnip is the same, really. So you can make parsnip chips or something if you've got a particularly woody parsnip and you put it through a mandolin, so you've got, you know, nice thin shavings, then you probably wouldn't notice the woodiness of it so much.
That's a good shout.
So I think cutting it in a different way is actually a good way to combat woody parsnips. But I love roasted parsnips, just like carrots. I think that really helps to bring out the sweetness. But parsnips have also got kind of an earthiness, haven't they, to them?
Yeah.
That lovely, like, earthy undertone. And that goes really well with flavours like maple syrup and nuts. Roasted with some maple syrup. They go all sticky on the bottom. And that's just so good.
And also you and your crunchy bits, you know.
And the crunchy bits.
When you get like the end in that. And
it's all about those crunchy bits.
Because I serve up a lot in my house, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I do that Sunday sort of cooking, my favourite bits are most of the bits that's left in the pan.
Yeah, chef's perks.
Oh, mate, when I'm scraping them off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if there's anything that I'm...
I think that's a good indicator of how much you love your kids, if you give them the crispy bits or not.
No, I don't love any of my kids that much. There's no way. No way, mate. You know, I got four of them, obviously, so you can imagine there has been some rows in our house about who's had this, who's had that. Yeah. And there's certain things... No, mum has to have it. You can't have that. I've got to give it to mum. Because like, if I don't give it to mother, there'll be trouble. Yeah. But, I mean, what other ways do you use them? Soups.
Parsnips make great soups, don't they? Really delicious. But again, you can use them in sweet bakes as well. So we've got a lovely sticky toffee parsnip pudding on the Good Food website, is gorgeous. And it just, you know, acts like a carrot. It adds a bit of moisture, but it adds a really nice flavour as well. Or a parsnip cake. Parsnip cake, similar to a carrot cake. Really delicious, gives it that nice kind of subtle earthiness, which again goes really nicely with like a maple frosting, something like that.
Yeah.
So I think they're more versatile than people realise. They go with like creamy flavours as well.
Yeah,
so
they do.
A gratin or, you know, a dauphinoise type of bake, delicious, and it just gives the potatoes an extra dimension. So I'd probably put them in with the potatoes because they don't have the same kind of starchiness as the potatoes, so work them in with the potatoes in that kind of gratin. A lot of the time these days when I'm cooking, you know, a quick dinner, I don't use a lot of meat in my cooking, so I'll try and make the vegetables the star of the show, as we've said before. So I might just, if I'm making a dal or something for dinner, I'd roast off some parsnips in some cumin seeds and a few other spices and put them on top of the dal. Or if I had, you know, lentils.
You do know you're making most people feel slightly inadequate now. Especially me. In a week when I haven't got much time, you know, if I'm just making a dal or if I'm...
You know, pulling a portion out of the freezer.
Amazing. You're amazing. You are amazing. It's sort of like, you know, it's me that feels inadequate. Bless. But yeah, so go on. So about the dal, go on, carry on.
Yeah, so I would just top a dal or even like some pui lentils if it's more of a kind of a French lentil dish. Yeah. Stick some roasted parsnips on top of that and make that the hero of the dish rather than just something you're putting on the side, which is a bit boring and a bit ignored. I think, you know, we should be eating these things in lots of different ways and trying to integrate them in different ways.
I mean, parsnips, I think if I think about one of my favourite smells in the veg garden, it's a freshly pulled parsnip.
It's a lovely smell, isn't it?
If you pull a parsnip, just clean them out and just actually... You're really, it's intoxicating.
It's quite unique, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, you know. And I tell you what, another root, before we go on to sort of something like beetroots, that I quite like with parsnips, and you might shoot me down for this, is horseradish.
Oh, yeah. So, it's really well.
And I grow horseradish, but you have to be careful if you're going to grow horseradish. So if you put horseradish in your allotment or in your garden, that's what you'll have.
Okay.
Horseradish can get rocking and rolling. It can it can go. But fresh horseradish is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And you can stick the whole thing in the freezer, can't you? That's what I've done before and just grate it as you need it.
And it benefits so much from actually, in a weird way, the taste benefits from cold weather anyway. Mm. But what I do is I've got a... like a big sort of container that has got no bottom in it.
Mm.
And what I do is I put that in the ground just about, so open bottom, sort of steelish type container, rusty old thing it is, and I put my horseradish in that. So what you do when you're buying horseradish, when you plant horseradish, you're literally buying the root.
Okay.
And then you buy little snippets of the root.
Yeah.
And then you make a certain amount of, like, you know, you dip in your holes and you drop your horseradish in.
Okay.
And actually, that's a brilliant plant to grow. You know,
I've never thought of growing horseradish, but I'm going to add that to my list.
And again, you know, fresh horseradish that you know, even if I've done it even with like a sour, just grated some in a sour cream and does
it.
The taste is just completely different.
Yeah. You know?
And it is.
Wakes up your taste buds.
But this is a man that's sad enough to also grow wasabi.
Oh, do you? Interesting. How easy is that to grow?
Do you know what? Wasabi's hit and miss. Because if you think about actually some of these things where they would grow in the wild, I don't know how I've got to wasabi on roots. But well, you eat the root, don't you, technically. So, but you can eat both. So, I mean, this is, you know, in a sense, in Japan, it would be in sort of shady, cool conditions by water. So it does like that sort of wet, cool conditions. So it's not necessarily the easiest thing to grow in one of the driest parts of the country is where I live. But I do a shady little spot in the garden, in the veg garden, and I can get, you know, over a couple of years, I can get a decent amount of wasabi going. I normally buy it as little sort of plants online. But the one thing I love with wasabi is not just the root, it's the leaf.
Oh, okay. You can eat the leaf
you
as
can
well.
Eat. So baby leaves, young leaves off wasabi are absolutely incredible.
Do they taste like wasabi?
Yeah, they do, but in a milder, you've not got that, oh my God, I'm just about to lose my eyesight type feeling.
Nice,
you know,
okay.
And where it goes up your nose and whatever. No, they're milder, but you get that warmth. And I think even with fresh, you know, I can dig horseradish, And I'll cut a bit off and I'll chew it.
Oh,
and
that must
my
make
own.
Water.
No, it's not too. No. Honestly, it's not too bad, and I absolutely love it. And sometimes what I do is do something like a carrot dish, and then if I've got some of that kicking about, just freshly grate some of that over the top.
Nice.
Oh, magical.
It's nice in a remoulade. Do you ever make a remoulade with?
No, go on. It's another one of them posh words. Go on it. Go on.
Okay, so a celeriac, you know, really finely shredded up.
Yeah.
Through a kind of mayonnaise-y, classically mustardy dressing, really delicious with like roast beef. But if you swap out the mustard for a bit of horseradish, that is just knockout. Really good.
So, did you learn all these flash words when you did cookery school?
Oh, I'm just a food geek, aren't I? I just love it.
Mind you, I suppose I could, you know,
read all the books.
I suppose that's a bit like me with Latin,
exactly,
isn't it? I could start, you know, start reeling off all these bits and pieces. Yeah. I read all the books, but I'm dyslexic, so I get to the sort of difficult words, and it's not that important. It can't be. Surely it's just the ingredients and this, that, and that.
That's
funny, all right.
I've got a terrible memory, but I can remember the food words like that, you know, like
it's
really
weird,
easily.
Isn't it? Because you know what, I can. It's even, if you think, I spent my life creating gardens, and I'll see people that I've not seen for 10 years and I might have forgotten their name.
Yeah.
And they'll introduce, oh, you did our garden. You did our garden for us, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I can then tell them exactly what their garden looks like.
Yeah.
And that's mad. You know, absolutely mad, isn't it? And it's the things we care about, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think reality
I think so.
Is. Yeah. And I suppose after the horseradish, you mentioned celeriac. I think that's something that I've experimented from. I think that's definitely a vegetable that works better in certain parts of the country for different people. I think my dry conditions are not always the best for that. So I don't tend to grow, but also my lot won't. They won't touch that. I like putting it through mashed potato and things like that every now and then, just to do bits and pieces. And that's another thing with that horseradish.
Mm.
That's quite nice, just to grate some and work it through the mash.
We've got a lovely recipe on the Good Food website for a celeriac steak. So again, going back to making the veg the star.
Yeah.
And you cook it in a gochujang butter. So gochujang is a Korean chili paste, and it's rich and sticky and dark. So delicious. And you you cook it down in this gochujang butter, and it's meaty, you know, cut like a slice from the middle, so you've got a really nice thick steak of it, and it's just delicious.
It's amazing, isn't it, that we, you know, we don't, I know we're doing it more, but that connection, you know, and that those sort of real strong flavours that we've got in veggies that we don't celebrate enough. It is all a bit weird.
Yeah, we're losing it a bit, which is sad, isn't it? And, you know, like we've talked a lot about growing different varieties and the flavour profiles of the different varieties, and we just don't get that from the supermarkets anymore. And even what you do get in the supermarkets, it seems to be becoming blander and blander, and you lose that true flavour of the ingredient.
Yeah, well, the reality is, you know, is that things are bred. They're bred to look good, as we've said before, but also they're bred to travel.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember being in a, I got invited to, now we're going to talk, I'm going to talk about strawberries now, which is like completely mental because we were meant to be talking about cows. But I got invited to Egypt, to a garden. He met me at Chelsea and this Egyptian fella, but he used to own big strawberry nurseries out towards Alexandria, so out outside of Cairo. I went out there and I helped him design his garden, which was like amazing. But he took me out to the nursery. He sort of was showing me the fields and everything looked amazing, you know. And of course, I went down to pick something up and he went, no, don't eat that. I went, he said, that doesn't taste very good.
Oh.
He said, that's the ones we send to you.
Oh, really?
He said, but they travel really well. Wow. And, you know, and he said, he's sad. He said, but if you want to eat nice strawberries, eat those ones.
Yeah.
These that go to the local market. And they looked exactly the same, but one was a completely different experience.
Yeah.
And I think that idea of just being, you know, local, regional, seasonal.
Yeah, it's so important.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I suppose the other route, and I think we've touched on this before, I'm not sure. I feel like we've talked about beetroot before.
I don't know if we have. Have we? A little bit maybe about the leaves. We've spoken a bit about the leaves, I think.
I mean, beetroot is a really, again, just simple to grow.
Mm.
If I think about, you know, sowing that, I'm sowing it probably at the end of the May, weed-free space, you know, a bit of goodness in the soil. And, you know, sowing, not unlike carrots, really, I suppose, you know, sort of centimetre and a half. Again, I don't worry too much about it. Mm. I make a reel and I put them in, they grow. So wet the drill through, sow them, cover them, and then thin.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of distances, really, that I'm looking probably to do something like the parsnips.
Mm.
Because, again, you know, beetroots will develop over a period of time. And though I'm looking probably for about golf ball size when I start to pull them out, some of them I'll let get bigger as the season goes on. But again, they're another one, colour-wise. There's so many different colours to play with.
Yeah, they're so beautiful,
aren't
they?
And, you know, but as far as cooking them, they're another go-to, aren't they? They roast beautifully as well.
They do, and I think, again, we tend to boil them quite often, but actually roasting them in their skins just helps to lock in all that flavour and seems to intensify the colour as well. It's not leaching out into the water. So I love to roast them in their skins, and then the skins just slip off, don't they? They're
really
easy to prepare. There's no peeling. And then you can almost roast them off and then keep them in the fridge for a week and use them as you like. You know, slice them through a salad. A nice lentil salad is beautiful with beetroots. Or put them in a curry. They're delicious in a curry, and that flavour just bleeds into the sauce.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you really want to make the most of the lovely colour, something like a risotto.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, bright pink, you know, risotto. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Or pasta as well. I've seen loads of videos on social media of this pink pasta, and it's all made with beetroot obviously.
Yeah.
And it just looks so cool, but
it
tastes amazing as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I love pickling it, you know, just keeping it in the fridge, balsamic vinegars, but roast it. We you know, it's another one of those veggies that I grow a lot of.
Mm.
So if you imagine in my veg garden, I've probably at the moment, I would have, as the season goes on, I'd have probably four or five rows, probably all about a metre long. That's how much beetroot we would get through.
Different varieties
as a family. But I won't pull from, you know, I'll pull a couple from there, a couple from there, and say early on in this season, you know, we'll use the things. But they're not really. A lot of what we've talked about, the parsnips, you know, the carrots are right. We talk about carrot fly, but the beetroot, they're not that problematic. You know, I think a lot of those are things that you don't have to stress too much. So you could have your couple of week holiday. As long as you don't go away, you know, too early on. Once these things get established, you know, because they've got long tap roots, they seem to hold their own and deal with the conditions a little bit.
Okay. I'm gonna add beetroot to my list is getting longer and longer by the minute.
But also remember as well, you know, you've got the leaves.
Yeah, the leaves are really tasty as well, aren't they? And lovely through a salad. They look so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
I suppose summary is, if we're thinking about the carrots, you know, as the main topic here, free draining, sunny conditions. You know, you want the soil to be fertile, but you don't want it to be mega mulched, anything like that. Not too stony, otherwise you're going to get your knobbly bits and your, you know, your Instagram or whatever it is, pictures. And yeah, thin them as you go. Don't waste those thinnings. You've said, I mean, I love that idea of making a pesto out of tops.
It's delicious.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, that's what I'm definitely going to give it a go. Yeah, and use them in all the different ways. So I think, wow.
Yeah, and I'm going to show you another way to use them now in a delicious cake that I've brought with me. So carrot cake is my all-time favourite cake. I love it. I love the spices through it and, you know, raisins, or you can have nuts through there sometimes. This one's got pistachios through it and on top, which just add a lovely pop of colour. They look gorgeous, yeah, don't they? And all of the roots we've talked about actually today. I know I've touched on parsnips can be used in bakes.
Yeah.
Beetroots as well. They're lovely in a chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah.
There, but
I've had that before. No, yeah. Not done it. I've had that.
Yeah.
That's like...
It works so well because the chocolate is quite, you know, one-dimensional, and the beetroot just brings that earthiness and, again, like moisture to the cake. So delicious.
Yeah.
You can chuck a beetroot into your cakes as
And
well.
When you said spices, what sort of spices would we be saying?
So all those lovely warming spices work really well with carrots, cinnamon, allspice, cloves, nutmeg, anything like that in that kind of family of spices is going to work really well in savoury or sweet dishes. This has got a mixture of those in there. So a nice gentle spicing to just really complement the sweetness of the carrots. Do you want to give it a go?
Yeah, you know I am. You're looking at me, you can see my face. It's like,
I've got my cup of tea ready. It's time for cake.
Exactly, it's time for cake. Oh my, look at that. Should I catch it?
That's a big wedge, isn't it?
That is a big wedge. Yeah, don't worry, I'm going for a run in the morning. Also, I work on the basis that someone once told me that as soon as you cut a cake, all the calories come out of it anyway, so it's all right.
I love that.
So I'm always stuck with that one. Yeah.
We don't think about calories when we're eating cake. We just enjoy the cake.
And our topping, what was the, you probably did say.
So this is the cream cheese
lovely
topping, which again goes really nice. Any soft cheeses go really nicely with carrots. So your ricottas or even burrata, if you roast off a load of carrots and roots in a tray and stick a burrata in the middle of that, gorgeous.
Lovely. What about carrots and ginger? Because that's sort of, I'm just tasting that and think like that warmth. Of ginger. Sorry,
Doug. Oh,
no, sorry. I've been, yeah.
Yeah, another lovely pairing. Really nice for a Christmas dinner if you roast them off with a bit of stem ginger, you know, some of the syrup from the jar. Mm. That's a lovely, lovely pairing with the spiciness and the sweetness. It goes really nicely together.
That's special.
It's good.
As per normal, you've blown my mind.
And you mine.
Yeah, bless you. But I tell you what you've done is, in a weird way, really made me rethink. I say I do enjoy my cooking, but I definitely look at my catalogue and I'm either looking at new varieties, something unusual. But actually what I'm going to do this year is, as I add things to the garden, it's going to be driven by what I can make out of them.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm going to complement things and start to do that. So this has been awesome. Thank
it really
you very much.
Has. I've loved it.
You're an angel. There you go. Cheers, darling. Thank you for listening to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast with me, Adam Frost, and of course, Cassie Best. For more information on the recipes we've discussed today, go to bbcgoodfood.com.